You know it's hard on me. This time is the last time, 'cause I'm soft like cashmere, spreading out like a wildfire. We're so out of control. Winter's where we fall, falling deep in our thoughts. Miss me when I'm gone, that's usually how it goes. Like, 'cause I'm soft like cashmere.
Hi, my name is Pablo, and this is
The Back Catalog with Pablo the Don.
Thank you so much, Guanar, for providing the intro and the outro this week. The song you just heard is Kashmir by TK Maidza. Welcome back to episode 2, and before we dive into today's topic, I want to say thank you for all the support on episode 1. I am so grateful for all of you listening and wanting to support the new journey that I'm on. I hope you enjoy today's episode and remember the 2 rules of the show. All right, let's dive into one of the most popular topics in music today. Industry plants. The term industry plant has really seen a wide usage since the rise of internet and SoundCloud culture, and at this point, I'm pretty convinced at some point in every person in the music industry's career has been called an industry plant by someone. Truthfully, that's why the internet shouldn't be available to everyone. Some people really just have dumbass opinions and shouldn't be able to share those to the world, whether they believe it or they just want to generate some clicks.
You are dumb, unattractive, unworthy, untalented.
Regardless, in this episode, we're going to adventure into one of the music business's most confusing conspiracy theories, find its origins, discuss some of the most popular musicians that have been called a plant, and then I'm going to attempt to debunk them to the best of my abilities. According to Leo Galil of the Chicago Reader, the definition of industry plant varies based on who's making the allegation and about whom. But nearly every version, no matter how haphazardly sketched, shares a few of the same features. And it works like this, more or less. A label, or really anyone with some deep pockets, plucks an act out of obscurity, invests time and resources to develop them, and then reaps the benefits when they finally release a song or an album and it rockets to the top of the charts. The term really started in the late 2000s on internet message boards and originally picked up steam through the hip-hop community. The term seems to be used to describe the unknown phenomenon of a meteoric rise of any given artist. This language has a lot in common with the language used to describe the sellouts of the punk scene, except a lot of times an actual corporation was backing those sellout punk bands and giving them bigger budgets than the DIY community had access to. Therefore, when they were making the music, it sounded a lot more polished and put together than something done for the pure love of music and not necessarily seeking validation from the general public or big critics. The advent of streaming services also coincidentally goes along with the mainstream rise of the term industry plant. In conjunction with that, when Billboard decided in late 2018 to include streams into the weighted decision in determining the charts, it became a lot easier for artists like Billie Eilish, Lil Nas X, or Claro to become the next big thing off the back of one song garnering millions of streams. And that didn't help quiet the conspiracy rumblings at all, by any means. The truth is that labels do back artists that are signed to them. It's their job. They do sometimes get big budgets to make their music, have fancy videos, and even have some crazy features. But by no means does that make anyone a plant. That means the label genuinely did their job, and I often wonder who would be considered an industry plant had we put these sort of parameters on the industry in the 80s and 90s. For example, one of my favorite artists of all time, Whitney Houston, was discovered in 1983, and she was discovered by Arista Records A&R Gary Griffith when he saw her and her mother performing at a New York nightclub. After Clive Davis basically gave his approval, Whitney was signed to a deal and then proceeded to go through an artist development for 2 years until her debut album, Whitney Houston, was released in 1985. But before the album came out, she did make 2 appearances. One was on a Teddy Pendergrass album doing a duet, and then the other one was when she performed Home from the movie The Wiz on The Merv Griffin Show. But when her album debuted in 1985, she shot to superstardom instantaneously. But does that really make her a plant? If we're really diving into this theory, I'd say she's probably one of the most clear-cut definitions of one. But we never call her that. But meanwhile, the stars of today at least go the DIY route at some point by releasing music for free on the internet, which in turn blows up because if y'all didn't know, anyone can literally make a Spotify and Apple Music artist account now. With that, I really do believe that a lot of the accusations of calling someone out for being an industry plant get conflated with having privilege and nepotism, particularly in the case of a lot of white artists. For example, both Billie Eilish and Taylor Swift have been accused of being industry plants, but neither of them quite fit that role. While Billie's family definitely had some money and her brother was already signed to a major label, that doesn't make her a plant. With Taylor, her mom did quit her finance job and her father did move his finance company to Nashville, which in turn uprooted their family from their Christmas tree farm in Pennsylvania to Nashville. just to allow Taylor to pursue music full time. That's privilege. But neither of those artists were planted by a label, and instead they were afforded opportunities that most Black and non-Black POC people do not receive. But there are a couple of those. For example, Chance the Rapper might fit that mold. His dad was part of the Obama White House staff, and he was pictured with Spike Lee as a baby. But that by no means jump-started his career, and while that might have provided him a few connections in the industry, ultimately, the work that was to be done was left up to Chance, and that shouldn't be discounted at all. Now, I'm not saying that these imbalances don't shift heavily in the favor of white artists, because come on, y'all, racism exists. It obviously does. But it doesn't equate to being an industry plant. The imbalance of the number of successful white artists versus successful Black artists has much more to do with white supremacy and the cosplaying of Blackness and Black art by non-Black bodies for financial gain, which I already covered in episode 1 of this podcast if you want to go back and listen. There have also been artists like Juice WRLD, Lil Nas X, and Dominic Fike who have been deemed as industry plants as well. All three of those artists posted their music to SoundCloud, and they became household names soon after. And all of those artists began to gain prominence on the site, and labels were so quick to jump on them for a deal. But the reasoning behind that is never explained to y'all, so here it is. If you didn't know, labels and executives are quite cheap and lazy, especially now that we're in the streaming age. They look for the most complete artists while spending the least amount of money. If an artist already has an established fan base, their own creative direction, and a personality, a label much rather take that over having to develop a brand new artist whose only guarantee is that they're talented or the label likes them. Being able to push units, merch, and ticket sales is the biggest component of the business side of music. And if an artist already has a base to sell something to, everything else can be fine-tuned. I personally think of that of like on-the-job training type of situation. And even after Juice WRLD's death, his record label decided to focus their attention on his label mate, the Kid LAROI. LAROI was signed to his contract in 2019 though, and he had put out an EP and was mentored by Juice WRLD. But suddenly when Juice WRLD passed away, people looked at his label supporting someone else in two type of ways. Either it was Lil Bibby, who was the label head at the time, trying to push Juice WRLD to the background in favor of a new artist and disrespecting his legacy in the process, or that LAROI was simply a plant and was being bred to take Juice's spot. In my opinion, it is so odd to try to paint a 17-year-old kid as the villain in this situation, but the truth was that LAROI was simply taking his time to develop as an artist, and when he was called upon in the wake of Juice's death, he just happened to seize the opportunity, you know? To be honest with you, that happens every time an artist who is part of a label dies. The artist simply just tries to replace what they had. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but what I'm saying is that it is wrong to try to blame the artist who's just trying to take advantage of a super unfortunate situation. Okay, but arguably one of the most talked about suspected industry plants in years has been the Tramp Stamps. The Tramp Stamps are a Nashville-based pop-punk trio, but they gained prominence on TikTok for channeling mid-2000s Fueled by Ramen Signee type of vibes. But the second people started looking deeper into the trio, they quickly learned they actually had lives before coming together, because it's so crazy how three women in their mid-20s actually had lives before becoming a band together. It's wild. Two of those members had a publishing deal with a producer who I'm not going to name because of abuse allegations in regards to the pop star Kesha. But all three were songwriters and artists of their own before forming the group in 2019. And for whatever reason, this really sent people into a tizzy. I'm not even joking. And quickly, all sorts of accusations were being thrown their way of being put together by a label, one being a married Trump supporter while making music that was directly against establishment men and conservatism, and all other sorts of name-calling that was not a good look for TikTok culture at large. To be fair though, all of this started because of a less than savory song that the group put out called I Rather Die, and that song seemingly glorifies alcohol and consent, or the lack thereof. But the main basis for them obtaining this tag seemed to be the fact that they seemed just too polished for the public, and they had a nice website, a professional bio written, and a budget for their music videos. But one day on Instagram, they ended up disproving all their accusers by posting this 4-page note explaining exactly how they came about and how they were able to pull off their polished look. The answer was that they released everything through their own label and invested in freelancers to craft their sites and bios, which I can say, honestly, as a freelancer, is a massive market for a lot of us to make extra cash in, while artists don't have to be tied to any one person or company after a project is completed. And even though I really don't think there is a future for the Tramp Stamps because of their lyrics, being called an industry plant negatively affected their standing in the public eye, and I truly think that's unfair. But to me, the most interesting and an odd case of an industry plant accusal definitely is against 2021's breakout star, Olivia Rodrigo. And I made a TikTok on this a few months ago, but Olivia Rodrigo might be as natural as it gets in terms of becoming a superstar. Like, she had her first credited gig in an Old Navy commercial back in 2015, starred in an American Doll movie, and then joined the cast of BizardVark in 2016. She then joined High School Musical, The Musical, The Series in 2019, where she ended up writing a song called All I Wanted, and it gained some prominence on TikTok in 2020. But because of her ties to music through the show, she ended up signing a joint deal with Geffen and Interscope in late 2020, something honestly so unprecedented for Disney acts, because they're usually signed to Disney's own record label called Hollywood Records. Then she released her first single, Driver's License, in January of 2021, which connected with TikTok unlike anything since Old Town Road by Lil Nas X in 2019. Everyone on the app was talking about the song. The rumor was about her co-star slash ex-boyfriend and another Disney actress's new relationship, and the sheer vocal power she possessed. Lightning was literally in a bottle with this one. So much so that Interscope ended up pushing her label mate Billie Eilish's album back from May to July, just to capitalize off of Olivia's success. To me, I don't think a transition has ever been so seamless from acting to singing, but this is a natural progression and one that truthfully just made sense. And the accusations towards Olivia have led me down a road to believe a different conclusion about the term industry plant. Because whenever I see a woman being accused of being an industry plant, it exclusively is coming from a man on the internet, probably a broke one at that, and is being used to discredit the success of women, which has long been an issue within the industry in and of itself. To me, this is the new, she probably slept with the boss to get this job narrative that society likes to push on women who are successful and quite independent of a man's validation or approval in order to be massively successful. And while the term certainly wears more than just one hat, this is definitely the most damaging, because it cheapens the art that women have and will continue to produce. And it says that women are never the reason for their own success and will always be at the behest of crusty ass men, which is honestly so wild. We need to let that one go. Now, to be fair, artists absolutely do fake their status of being independent. And I think the biggest example of this by far has been Young Dolph, because he famously touted himself as being an independent artist, all the while he was literally signed to a major label. I really do think that the idea of being independent has become a lucrative marketing scheme to garner more support. And I say that because, unfortunately, the industry is designed to be confusing because they don't want you to know how it works. The industry does make moves to hide some of these deals, but in full honesty, they are usually just so lazy about it. Record deals are public documents, and if you search hard enough, you can find them. Despite this fact, though, I still don't believe artists who fake their label status are plants. These are usually people who at one point or another made music independently and hung their hat on that fact, but then needed to use big label backing in order to elevate themselves into the next stratosphere of fame. And where these artists go wrong is simply by lying. I feel like they believe that people will withdraw support if they sign to major deals, which, yeah, will probably happen with some people. But overall, I think people realize that making music full-time is just not cheap and bills have to be paid, like rent be due. And I think these artists severely underestimate the empathy of their fans, and that's what messes them up almost every single time that they lie. I think another reason why the term gets thrown around so loosely too is because of the availability of music. To be honest, you can find music in every crevice of the internet, and it's not easy to keep track of these new and upcoming artists. Even I can't keep up with half these artists that pop up. And in the past, you actively had to try to avoid new artists being pushed out. Like, you actually had to turn off the radio or late night TV because their labels were going to ensure that they were being seen by the right audience.
And I was gonna get employed, and I'm gonna period.
And now in 2021, you could literally blink and someone you've never heard of before has the number one song in the country. It's happened to me at least like 5 to 10 times over the last like 5 or so years. I think a lot of this is because people are upset that they weren't a part of the journey from the beginning, and then they start writing artists off as plants. It's really a case of FOMO playing out on social media, and it's almost as if I didn't know about this artist before they blew up, then they must be a plant because I'm just so tapped into music. And when I see stuff of that, I just think, wow, this reeks of entitlement. Because to think that someone is automatically invalid because you weren't digging deep into some obscure genre on SoundCloud is honestly so weird. I think y'all should just hop on the train when you come across it and just keep moving. Just move along. Yeah, industry plants just don't exist. And I can guarantee you that almost any attempt at a plant failed miserably. And the reason why is super simple. Most successful musicians are successful because they have a connection with their audience and they make music. Like, if the music isn't good and there is no support, then there is no artist. And oftentimes people will say, well, if such and such is a plant, then I'll water them. Which I guess in theory is fine, but honestly, it's just not even necessary to say because they aren't a plant. There needs to be a clear distinction between artist development, privilege, nepotism, and just straight out lying. And learning how to compartmentalize will debunk almost every industry plant conspiracy theory if you really care. And if you're one of those weirdo internet people that are just using the term because you don't like someone or their music, I personally think that's fan behavior. Because why are you wasting your time? Why are you doing this?
Go ahead and log off for me, baby.
Because this behavior is not normal. It's not okay.
Like, the time you spent trying to discredit someone could be the time you spend getting to know all these artists that you are claiming are plants, or finding the next artist that you are probably going to claim as a plant if you don't listen to them from the very beginning of their career. I absolutely love how the internet has played a role in the music industry, especially in democratizing who and what is a pop star or superstar or whatever. Without places like SoundCloud and DistroKid, a lot of these stars that we know now wouldn't be where they are at. But I think it's quite disappointing to see people relegate those folks who were discovered in a more traditional sense to being industry plants. Because I feel as though there are a lot of reasons to hate and shit on the music industry for. And even within the way that some of those more traditionally found artists are discovered is because of A&Rs and their biases, because a lot of them are cishet white men. And so their biases lie within homophobia, fatphobia, racism, and sexism. But to relegate all those artists to being plants, even though they worked hard, they chased their dreams, and they just happened to end up in front of the right people at the right time, is disheartening. And I think it goes to this whole point of us wanting to want everyone to be part of this hustle grind culture that honestly wears people down so much. And while, yeah, paying your dues in the music is always going to happen no matter what way you're discovered, I think it's really shameful to just write people off because they weren't discovered in a way that you approve of. And I think it causes people to miss out on a lot of good music because the tag industry plant has really ruined a lot of people's career. I think of someone like Rory, who came out in 2014 with his first project. Everyone loved it. And because it was such a success, everyone called him an industry plant. He went on the cover of XXL and wore that shirt that said industry plant. And then people stopped buying his music. And it really sucked because he was so talented and still is talented. Stream Rory's music right now. But because of the negative connotation that that word and phrase has, a lot of artists' careers have been derailed. And to be honest, I don't understand what the issue is with artists having a more prolonged development phase and taking their time while they're signed to a label to get to know themselves and the sound that they want to present to people before releasing anything to the world. I think the precedent we're trying to set for people and the parameters we're trying to put on the industry to validate people as celebrities is very much entitled and just not a good way to go about listening to music and consuming music, because you end up missing out on so many artists that are probably really good and spent a lot of time developing themselves and making great music for your consumption just because you felt as though they came out of nowhere, which they really didn't. Most of them really didn't come out of nowhere. You just hadn't heard of them yet because you weren't in whatever city at whatever small nightclubs listening to them. I think people forget that a lot of ways that the legends and icons that we love so much were discovered were because A&Rs would go and sit in nightclubs and cabaret clubs and listen to these people sing and try to sign them to a developmental deal. And that's how we got a lot of the legends that we honestly hold up to such a high standard and are thirsty for in today's world. they were discovered through a traditional route and they were put through development before they released any music, probably did a couple features or duets first, and then bang, they were presented to the world and they were instantaneously stars because they had spent so much time developing themselves. I think if we just take a step back from being so quick to call people plants and being so quick to invalidate people's existence and their hard work and their careers because we personally weren't there first, we can really, really, really find some amazing artists that deserve our attention. I think of the way TikTok has helped launch so many careers. And while we don't know where a lot of those careers will end up yet, because it's so fresh and so new that these people have been signed, I think it's a good thing that now we're seeing the internet combined with traditional discovery methods, and we're getting these brand new type of hybrid artists. There's so much to look forward to in terms of being able to discover new music and the ways that we discover new people and how they can reach us organically or through paid methods. But what I'm saying is, if you find yourself questioning whether that new artist that you just discovered with all that great music or one or two songs is an industry plant, don't, because they're not. And they still had to work hard to get to wherever they're at, regardless of if a label backed them and is promoting them, or if you were the first one to back them and promote them. But I do want to say thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Back Catalog Podcast. Please follow the podcast on Instagram at Back Catalog Pod. That's catalog spelled the American way, C-A-T-A-L-O-G. Make sure you support the Patreon, which is linked in the description box below with all the extra goodies on there. And then follow me on Instagram at Pablo.TheDon and follow my TikTok at PabloTheDon, which is all one word. I'm Pablo the Don, and this has been
The Back Catalog with Pablo the Don.
You know it's hard on me.